And welcome back to Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today we have Vivian Shorley. She is a program director for Project Hope at Family Services of Montgomery County. And Rob Reichert is back. You know him. He is the executive director of AIDS Fund here in the greater Delaware Valley. And welcome back, Rob, and welcome, Vivian.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Today we're going to be talking about a campaign near and dear to both of you and to all of us, actually, and that is U equals U, undetectable equals untransmittable. And we're going to talk about that. But first, Vivian, what is Project Hope?
Well, Project Hope is a prevention and a medical case management service that we have in Montgomery County where we serve the HIV positive community, as well as going out and doing prevention work to make sure everybody knows their status in the Montgomery County area.
And of course, Rob, tell us about the AIDS Fund.
Well, AIDS Fund mission is to get to zero. Zero new infections, zero deaths, and zero stigma. And we do that through raising public awareness and providing emergency financial assistance to people living with HIV.
Rob, every time you're in here, you always talk about this. And Vivian, before the show began, we talked about knowing your status, number one on the hit parade.
Yeah. Absolutely. We have to be talking about HIV and have people know their status. We can help people to live a long and healthy life with HIV if they know they have it.
Right. And it's very easy to get tested. I know through our family services, we can do it free of charge out of our Eagleville office or Pottstown office. And we're going out into the community to just ramp up going and letting people know their status as quickly as 60 seconds it can be done.
And that's something that we don't get done routinely when we visit our physicians. We don't get offered the test. Is it a blood test and that's it?
It is just a fingerprint for us in the office. In fact, we just got trained last week on a brand new test and we're really excited to get out there. My staff was so excited to get trained in it. It's 60 seconds. It's a simple blood prick. It can be done in the community. It can be done in the office. And then you know your status and then we can give you information and resources.
Rob, it's very easy to get one in the Philadelphia area.
Absolutely. The easiest way for somebody to find out where they can get tested is to call 215-985-AIDS and they can tell you exactly where you can get tested right in your neighborhood.
Who should be getting tested?
Everyone.
Everyone. Yep.
It really is something that everyone should make a part of their routine health care. Just like getting a test for diabetes or cholesterol, we really want to make this a routine thing. And that's, you know, reducing the stigma because I think we think other people are at risk, not us. And, you know, that's a very common thing we hear. It's like, well, it's those people over there. So we want to get, you know, we need to reduce that stigma and really have people understand that everyone really should be tested.
Agreed.
Well, transmission. I usually don't like to say, let's talk numbers, but this time, how are we doing in the United States? And then how are we doing in the Delaware Valley compared to that?
Well, we're starting to actually see a reduction in new cases. And that's really the result of a lot of things. It's a result of people knowing their status and getting into care. Because if people are in care and have an undetectable viral load, they will not pass the virus on to somebody else. And also, we have a new prevention method, and that's PrEP, where people can take one pill a day and greatly reduce their risk of contracting HIV. So, you know, the combination of getting people into care, keeping them in care, getting people access to the newest prevention strategies is helping to reduce the numbers.
Are you finding that, though, in Montgomery County?
We are finding that in Montgomery County as well. But still, you know, over the last 6 months, we've had two new transmissions, and it still hurts. It's like it shouldn't even be happening. There are young people that have gotten transmitted, and we just want to make sure that we go, like Rob said, down to zero so that we can not have to have those kind of stories anymore because we know that there is science behind how to not transmit to another person.
What you just said, young people, are there other communities that are at risk right now?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. But, you know, young people are at high risk. 25% of new cases of HIV are among people under the age of 25. And they're not perinatal transmission. Those are primarily sexual transmissions.
Is this the case of they're not getting the message about PrEP or prevention?
It's young people being young people.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think we like to say, oh, they don't have the information or, oh, they, you know, they don't understand. I had a conversation with a gentleman my age over the weekend who's like, oh, these young people just don't get it. They do get it, but they're young. And, you know, young people do sometimes make mistakes. And, you know, we don't want to judge them for those things. You know, we don't put the same stigma on somebody having an unplanned pregnancy as we do on somebody having contracted HIV. And, you know, you contract it the same way. And so I think that that's where we get tied up is like, oh, these young people, they just, you know, they don't understand, or they do. I talk to young people all the time. They know about HIV, but it's not always easy to implement that, to have the self-esteem, to really be able to talk about HIV. We've stigmatized HIV so much over the last 35 years that people don't want to talk about it or acknowledge their risk, and that makes it difficult. And when it's difficult for an adult to talk about HIV, it's really hard for a teenager to talk about HIV.
And we've been working with young people. We have a new service called HIV Navigation Service, which is a preventive service. So we're looking for people who are negative and maybe potentially a little bit more at higher risk. And so we're able to test for STDs. And if we come up with a young person who's tested positive for STDs, we want to go out and just do some education so that, one, we make sure that they get the medication they need to clear that up. And two, let's talk a little bit about how we can prevent maybe some other things down the line. And, you know, young people are very open to listening to the information and getting the medical care they need and understanding how to better protect themselves once someone's in there that can talk to them on their level without judgment. So definitely the no judgment part of what Rob was saying is so important when working with young people. So we continually try, you know, free condoms and just even giving education on sexual health. What does that even look like? What does that mean? You had said about self-esteem. I mean, definitely our females that we're finding and the young people that we're finding, they're much more open to talking about sexual health and how do we, you know, use protection so we're not getting STDs or HIVs. We're having a little more we know from the gentleman, and when we're offering free condoms, they're taking them, but we're not getting the same kind of response as we're getting it from the females. They're a little more reluctant when we say, you know, we can accompany you to your doctor and make sure you get, they're kind of like, yeah, I got this. And then we check back on them. So we keep trying. I think that's the other thing is persistence, trying to just keep track and letting them know when you're ready, we're here if you need us.
When a young person comes in and they do test positive for an STD, is that then you try to get to their community, maybe their school or that particular neighborhood, et cetera, with the information?
So we definitely try to talk to partners to make sure that they're aware of what's going on. We don't go out into the community, although we are definitely trying that. We want to get out into the community. We've been happy. We are able to do it both in English and in Spanish. And so that's our focus for next year is getting out into the community. I just had a meeting with my outreach team last week, and we've got about 5 locations that we're working on to get out into the community to have these conversations more one-on-one with people.
How important is it to get into the Spanish community or people of color or, you know, other ethnic neighborhoods, perhaps, that traditionally they're not talking about health in general, let alone STDs and HIV?
Yeah, it's extraordinarily important. I mean, nationally, the trend is that the communities of color, our communities of color, are the ones that are at highest risk for transmission. MSM population, particularly with African Americans and Latinos, are the top two populations that are at risk for obtaining HIV. It's, I think, 1 out of every 2 MSM, which is men of sex, men, African Americans are at risk of getting HIV. 1 out of 2, which is extraordinarily high amount. And Latino population is just under that. And then it's women of color. So these are the communities we want to go out and talk to make sure that we're having these conversations on how do you, one, know your status, and two, how do you decide to protect yourself so that you can have a healthy sexual life? That's what we all want.
Well, before the show began, and I floated this at you, when AIDS first became a conversation, and when we talked to women, we usually always talked at women. It was drug addiction, it was needle sharing, or it was the behavior of men. It wasn't not what you were doing or not where you were in your life situation.
Right. I mean, definitely. I know the young people that we're working with, and even just women that we're working with, they're definitely more empowered in regards to finding out how to better protect themselves and how to have the difficult conversations so they're not being put at risk for HIV or STDs. They're definitely interested in PrEP. We also talk about that. So we're finding women being more empowered in regards to, okay, let me get all this information. Let me think how I'm going to use it so I can go back and talk to my partner about how to better take care of ourselves sexually.
Knowing your status means that you can get treatment, which can then get you to that U equals you that you really want. And PrEP. And so do you want to talk about your services?
Absolutely. So we have a medical case management component. We have about 7 or 8 medical case managers that we can assign to someone who is interested in supportive services, which is, you know, making sure, one, that they have medical insurance. That is the number one most important thing, because we want them to have access to their life-saving treatment. And there are as many different ways to get that, so that even someone who may not traditionally be able to get medical insurance, we have a number of ways of getting at least your HIV treatment covered. So that's not something you ever have to worry about. We also make sure that people are linked up to an infectious disease doctor and that they're seeing them on a regular basis, because U equals U is great as long as you know what your viral load is to begin with. So we want to make sure that everybody is talking to their doctor, so there, if there's any kind of complications, someone's there to help them out. And then we provide additional services, like if you need transportation for medical appointments or for lab work, we have the ability to have food vouchers for people who may experience low food security. We have some dental supportive services. Dental is also something that's really important with someone who has got an HIV diagnosis, because dental health is so important and can be compromised quickly. So we have a variety. We also have workshops and education for our community. We have different speakers coming in to offer different topics for anybody who's interested. It's very particular to our community. And we're also very happy and blessed to have a community counselor on staff who is very aware of HIV and the community and the issues that come up, who has worked in this line for a while, and she's excellent at what she does. And she does support groups as well as one-on-one counseling with people without having to go through all the red tape of going through the different offices and waiting for an appointment. She can see someone right away. So these are the things we offer to the community that gets our medical case management.
How many clients do you have at any given time?
So we can go anywhere from 175 to 185, but we can service, we have the capacity to service up to 200 people who are interested in our services.
How many could be theoretically?
So theoretically, we could have about 1,100 to 1,300 people on our caseload.
And so the remaining 800, and I can't do the math, are not actually using your services.
Right, absolutely.
And that could be for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, that could be that they are, they don't know their status, because those estimates are based on the people who are infected. Some of them may not know. But also, not everybody needs medical case management. And the goal of medical case management is to get people to the point where they don't need those services.
Absolutely.
And so they get people stabilized in where they can maintain their health and everything without medical case management. And that's their goal.
Yeah.
I mean, the goal is to get people stabilized and out of case management. So, you know, that's where that difference comes in.
Absolutely.
And they do a great job at that.
Absolutely.
You know, I remember talking with a woman a few years back who was being released from medical case management.
Yeah.
And she was very upset about it, because she was like, you know, it's a safety net.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm like, look, you're giving base. That's because you're doing really well. You don't need this anymore. They'll have you back when you're ready. You know, if you ever need them, they're going to be there for you. But right now there's other people and you're taking a spot. And there are people out there, certainly, who could use the services, who may not know about it or may feel stigma about going and asking for help. So we have to make sure they know about the things in the service.
We're going to have to talk about this now as HIV as a chronic disease. And we're going to do that when we get right back. But first, I have to say that this is our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and today we are talking with Vivian Shorley. She is Program Director for Project HOPE, and that is HIV/AIDS Outreach Prevention Education, HOPE, at Family Services of Montgomery County. You can find them at fsmontco.org. And Rob Reichert is the Executive Director of AIDS Fund, and you can find him at aidsfundphilly.org. Now let's go back to what I just threw out there, that thanks to the medication now and the U equals U, it means that we're now looking at this as a chronic illness, and we're looking at living with HIV. So do you want to talk a little bit about first PrEP, and then, of course, the treatment if you do have a transmission that gets you to undetectable?
Well, I think PrEP is, you know, somewhat revolutionary. It's the thing that we have needed for a long, long time. I say if it had come out in the 90s, people would have been standing in line around the block to get it. But, you know, we need to make sure people are aware of it and have access to it. And when I say access to it, there's a financial obstacle sometimes for people to get it. They may have a very high copay. If they have private health insurance, they may have a very high copay, you know, to get it. Or I know a gentleman who He's bisexual, married to a woman. They work for a together at the same company that's small and self-insured. He does not feel that he can go and get PrEP because his employer would find out. And he's not openly bisexual at his place of employment. Those are the kind of barriers that we have. Sometimes it's not even just access, but it's like those kinds of things that get in the way of people being able to access PrEP. Young people being afraid that if they, you know, they're still on their parents' insurance, that their parents will find out that they're taking it. So we need to, again, reduce the stigma around HIV. We need to make sure people have ready access who are at risk and who are interested in PrEP. And that's, I think, one of our biggest barriers to getting it to people.
Yeah, no, definitely the access to be able to pay for it. I know that's what we're experiencing. And we work with the Latino population as well in regards to this. And they're very interested in using PrEP, but some of the barriers have been financial in regards to taking a pill every day for however long they feel they need it. Is getting the ability to pay for the medication, whether through copays or having to pay for it outright. But they're definitely interested because it is a great tool to be.
And you know what? We never did say what PrEP is.
Oh, so PrEP is people could take one pill a day. It's actually one of the same pills that's used for people who are HIV positive to keep the virus from replicating in their system. And so if somebody goes on PrEP, they can take one pill a day. If they are exposed to HIV, they have that drug in their system so that HIV never is able to replicate and take hold in their body. That's my third grade science explanation of PrEP. So it basically keeps the virus from replicating should they become exposed to it. Yeah.
And then now treatment. Treatment today is not the treatment that it was even 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
No,
that was
yeah.
devastating and time-consuming and expensive.
Well, you know, I think back to the mid-90s when, you know, one of the drugs that was the primary drug being used to treat HIV had to be taken three times a day on an empty stomach. So you had to take it either before an hour before you ate or 2 hours after you ate, three times a day. So your whole day was built around when you could have to take these drugs. And today, it's one pill a day. With food, without food,
Absolutely. It
does not matter.
And you have some options even with that one pill a day. We've got several different types of treatment that you could take one pill a day.
And the side effects have greatly diminished. We know so much more now. And so the treatments have advanced so much. We now have the expectation if somebody learns about their HIV status and gets in treatment, remains in treatment, they will live a full life. I mean, you know, a standard life expectancy. In fact, I saw one study that was done and talked about at one of the conferences where they said if, you know, a young person at 25 found out they were HIV positive, they actually could be expected to live longer because they would be in regular medical care.
Right.
And so they would find other things very quickly. And I think that doesn't say that what that says is about taking care of yourself and preventative health to seeing doctors regularly.
And that treatment leads to, of course, you equals you. And what's so important about this campaign? And that's what it is. I hear the ads. I see the billboards. You equals you.
Well, I think if you take your medications every day and prescribed by your doctor and you keep that viral load in check, your ability to transmit it to another person is something that the science is saying is not going to happen. So it gives people a whole new life in regards to just loving who they want to love, loving the way they want to love, without having that fear that I'm going to make someone sick or I'm going to give someone this disease that I have. I mean, it changes, I think, the mindset completely in regards to the ability to love, just love people and having a health looked at in a completely different way. You have the control now to be able to maintain, HIV as opposed to before where I think was if you don't, you know, you could die. And so it's changed completely, I think, the landscape.
So is this campaign directed at someone at risk, which is basically everybody, okay, getting past that, but to know their status with the idea that they can become undetectable? Or is it?
Well, I think it's directed towards everyone.
Yeah.
I think part of it is to reduce the stigma around HIV, that somebody who's HIV positive, that it's important that they maintain their care. I think it's directed to, you know, it's critical for funding for treatment. You know, we can't, you know, this idea of how do we end this epidemic? Well, we got to make sure people are in care and maintain care. We don't have a cure, right? But if we get everybody who is HIV positive into treatment and keep them in treatment, provide them with all of the things they need, you know, for us, you know, AIDS Fund, that's providing emergency grants when we may lose them to care because they lose their housing or they. So how we keep people in care, how we talk about HIV. We have to, if we want to destigmatize HIV, we got to take some of the scariness out of it, right? I spoke about U equals U over the weekend to a group that was pretty much all gay men, age range from early 20s to their 70s. And somebody came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I'm so glad you're talking about U equals U. It's so important, he says. And there were people sitting behind me who said, really, I didn't know that. These were middle-aged gay men who had not gotten the U equals U message and had never heard that no one, there has not been in the 20 plus years that we've had this combination therapy and effective treatments for HIV, there's not been one transmission of HIV by an undetectable person to another individual. Not one.
Wait, so you're saying that a gay middle-aged man doesn't know about it. Yeah. What about the medical profession?
Well, that's, and I think that's what we're trying to get. That's why it's so important to get U equals U out, you know, on top of the community, making sure the community knows the information so that they can be maybe bringing it to their medical provider if the medical provider doesn't know about the U equals U campaign and research. It definitely, like I said, gives people empowerment in regards to how to change the stigma in the community. But medical providers have to get on board. You know, that's kind of like our mission. We've been around 30 years this year, 2019. So it's kind of my own little personal mission to go out and let everybody know about U equals U and how what people have in their minds in regards to the HIV AIDS epidemic of the 80s and 90s, it is not the same that we're looking at right here. I mean, we're talking about, you know, cures and different people that have said things and vaccinations. I mean, we've moved so far along. U equals U is just a wonderful tool to really say this is what the science is saying. So whatever you had there 30 years ago, we have changed the landscape, the conversation, and more importantly, the science.
Now, if I'm hearing this, though, and I'm in West Cupcake, and there's one doctor, or I am on my parents' plan, et cetera, how accessible is this treatment? Because we know PrEP is kind of hard to get because a lot of physicians do not prescribe it or are not even aware of it.
Right.
Yeah, and we do see that. And I think, you know, I had this is probably about 2 years ago about PrEP at an event up in the Lehigh Valley. And a gentleman came over to me and he said, oh, thank you so much for talking about PrEP. I have a younger gay brother who went to his doctor and said, I've been reading about PrEP. I've heard about it. I think I'm at high risk. I'd like to get it. And the doctor said, oh, I can't do that. You have to go to an infectious disease doctor. We had a 24-year-old gay man who acknowledged that he was at risk and his doctor sent him away because he wouldn't prescribe it to him. There was no reason for that young man needed to see an infectious disease doctor to get a prescription for PrEP. And that's, in my mind, medical malpractice to be actually sending somebody away who's saying, I'm at risk, help me. And he was sent away. Fortunately, he went to his brother and said, you know, this is what happened. And his brother hooked him up with an LGBT sensitive medical provider who got him on PrEP.
But then that means
not everybody has a brother they can go to. And that's what's upsetting to me, Laura.
But that means that that physician, too, is not even doing that for the woman who this is an ignorance across the board.
Yes. Well, I mean, so what I'm finding, and you know, I've been in this line of work for the last 2 years, so I'm relatively really new to a lot of this information, but even just sexual health, talking about sexual health in general, oh my gosh, we've got a long way to go. You know, particularly specific communities, if we can't even talk about just sexual health on any realm, then, you know, some of these conversations are very uncomfortable. So I'm, you know, again, going out there trying to really have these really important talks about just even sexual health. Let's just bring it back to sexual health and what that looks like and what that feels like and how do you protect yourself so that you can can have many, many years of that. But people are just not comfortable even having that kind of conversation. I have adolescents in my house, so they're like, oh my goodness. But I have to talk about this. I know too much now. So
where should someone go for information? How do you start that conversation? We're running out of time.
Sure. So for us here in Montgomery County, definitely they can call us at Family Services, 610-630-2111. My particular extension is 234. I can definitely have that conversation. In fact, about 6 months ago, I had about a 45-minute conversation with a young person who had a lot of questions. And I answered a lot of questions, questions that I never thought I'd be answering. But he was asking some really good questions. So, you know, just to even hear what some of the questions are and then maybe figuring out where we can provide some of that prevention and education for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, the AIDS hotline number again is 215-981-AIDS. They can answer all of your questions and send you to the appropriate place to get information or testing. So I think that's a great resource that we have here in the greater Philadelphia region. Always, they can visit our website at AIDSFundPhilly.org, AIDSFundPhilly.org. And, you know, come out and join us at AIDS Walk Philly on Sunday, October 20th. At AIDSWalkPhilly.org.
Laura, can I just plug one thing that Rob and I are going to be doing in Montgomery County on September 18th? That is National Aging with HIV Day. And so for our 30th anniversary, we're going to be on the steps of Montgomery County Courthouse talking a little bit about the National Day, as well as hopefully, if it doesn't rain, have the billboard out that shows the 30-year history that the AIDS Fund has, that is wonderful, so that people can walk through previous to us having our little talk on the steps to kind of just, again, get that information out about U equals U and the change and the science that has happened over the last 30 years for the HIV AIDS community.
Ever think you'd be saying the National Aging with HIV?
Right. Which is what we're seeing. And I think that's of such an important talk about U equals U, is the fact that there is aging and a successful aging when everybody gets the proper medical treatment they deserve. So that, you know, HRSA just came out, like 45% of people nationwide who have HIV are over the age of 50, which shows that, you know, if you get the proper medical treatment, you have access to the life-saving medications, you can really have a wonderful, productive life like mm-hmm. everybody else.
And of course, AIDS Walk Philly, the annual walk this year, October 20th, it goes a long way to making sure that people do get the treatment and the services that they need to live that healthy life.
Right. Yes, the funds we raise at AIDS Walk Philly go to our emergency grant program, where people may be in danger of losing their housing, their utilities are about to be shut off, and you can't maintain your health if you don't have a roof over your head. One of the first grants we did with Vivian's organization was for a gentleman who had had a stroke and lived in a second floor apartment, had to be carried up the steps when he came out of the hospital and out of the rehab facility, and then couldn't leave because he couldn't get back out of his apartment. And so, but he didn't have the money for first month's rent and security deposit, those funds that you need to be able to move. He didn't have those.
Absolutely.
And so he couldn't have a quality of life because he couldn't leave his apartment.
It's a great cause.
Come out and be a lifeline by joining us at AIDS Walk Philly, Sunday, October 20th. It's AIDSWalkPhilly.org.
And for more information about the AIDS Fund itself, go to AIDSFundPhilly.org. That's AIDSFundPhilly.org. The executive director, Rob Reichert, our guest today, along with Vivian Shorley. She is program director for Project Hope, HIV/AIDS Outreach Prevention Education, Project Hope at Family Services of Montgomery County. And you can find them at fsmontco.org. That's fsmontco.org. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Always welcome back. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.